Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for In the News and American Stories, coming up after As It Is.
From VOA Learning English, this is As It Is. I'm Ana Mateo in Washington. Laughter is the best medicine, is a popular expression. It simply means that laughing could be good for your health and good for your mind. But what if hearing laughter makes you afraid? Later in the show, we will hear about a fear or phobia of what many feel is the greatest sound on earth, laughter. But first, we talk about fears or phobias in depth. A phobia is a strong fear of something that, in reality, presents little or no danger. Most phobias develop in childhood, but they can also develop in adults. The word phobia comes from the Greek language. It means to fear. Some phobias are common. The fear of spiders is arachnophobia. The fear of small spaces is called claustrophobia. And the fear of heights is acrophobia. But there are also uncommon phobias. Somnophobia is the fear of falling asleep. And papophobia is a fear of the leader of the Roman Catholic Church, the Pope. The list of phobias goes on and on. Having a phobia is not a laughing matter. Phobias often create problems in a person's life. One common phobia that can create problems and hold people back, especially at school and at work, is the fear of public speaking, or glossophobia. Glossa is Greek for tongue. A student with glossophobia may be afraid to speak up in class. At work, a person with this phobia may not speak up in meetings. Whether it is a phobia or a real danger, our bodies react to fear. And we often use physical expressions to describe ourselves when we are afraid. I was so scared my blood ran cold, or I broke out into a cold sweat. If a book or movie is scary, we often call it spine tingling or hair raising. If something scares us, we can say it made our hair stand on end, or that it had us shaking in our shoes. All these expressions describe what happens to a person's body when they are afraid. The U.S. President Franklin Delano Roosevelt famously said in his inaugural speech that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. That is a nice idea, but try telling that to a person who is afraid of their own shadow. I'm Ana Mateo, and you are listening to As It Is.
The sexy Dorothy.
On today's As It Is, we are learning about phobias, things that scare us. And one phobia may surprise you. It is the fear of something basic to the human condition. Christopher Cruz brings us that story.
Imagine this situation. You pass a group of people. The people are talking to each other. You cannot hear what they are saying. But suddenly, they start laughing. What would you think? Would you think they were laughing at something funny that one of them said? Or, be honest with yourself, would you think they were laughing at you? Yes, you. Being laughed at is a common fear. But a major study published in 2009 found that this fear is not the same around the world. It differs from culture to culture. People in Finland were the least likely to believe that people laughing in their presence were making fun of them. Less than 10% of Finns in the study said they would think that, compared to 80% of people in Thailand. Some people in the study said they felt unsure of themselves in social situations, but hid their feelings of insecurity. Others said they avoided social situations where they had been laughed at before. The study found that people in Turkmenistan and Cambodia were more likely to be in the first group. They would hide their feelings of insecurity if they were around other people's laughter. But people in Iraq, Egypt, and Jordan were more likely to try to avoid such situations if they felt they had been laughed at before. Shy people often avoid situations that would force them into close contact with other people. They worry that something they say or do will make other people laugh at them. But some people worry much more than others. They may have a disorder called gelotophobia. Gelos is a Greek word. It means laughter. This fear of laughter can be truly sad for those who live with it. It can affect how they lead their lives. Another purpose of the study was to compare the levels of fear of being laughed at in different cultures. The researchers surveyed more than 22,000 people in 42 different languages. In 2012, the same researchers published an article about gelotophobia. They wrote about how harmful gelotophobia is to mental health. The researchers compared adults living in Austria, China, and Switzerland, and found that in all those places, gelotophobes were unhappier. They also were less likely to feel engaged in their life activities and believed that their lives had less pleasure and meaning. Both studies appeared in the scientific journal Humor, International Journal of Humor Research. I'm Christopher Cruz.
And I'm Anna Mateo. To practice American English or talk about phobias, use our comment section. And if you have a phobia of not finding VOA Learning English online, have no fear. You can find us on Facebook, iTunes, LinkedIn, or YouTube. And don't forget to join us again tomorrow for another As It Is.
In the News is next, followed by American Stories. You can read and listen to our programs and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English. from VOA Learning English. This is In the News. Nigerian President Goodluck Jonathan promised this week to find hundreds of missing schoolgirls. The girls were taken from a secondary school in northern Nigeria on April 14th. The Islamic militant group Boko Haram claimed responsibility on Monday for kidnapping the students. The group released a video recording of its leader, Abubakar Shekau. In the video, he says, "I abducted your girls. By Allah, I will sell them in the marketplace." International reaction came quickly. French President Francois Hollande spoke with the Nigerian president by telephone on Wednesday. Mr. Hollande said his country would immediately send security agents to help find the missing students. France has more than 4,000 troops in two other African countries, Mali and the Central African Republic. The French government has voiced concern that Boko Haram's influence could spread across the Nigerian border. In the United States, President Barack Obama was among the world leaders who condemned the militant group and the kidnappings.
It's a heartbreaking situation, outrageous situation. This may be the event that helps to mobilize the entire international community to finally do something against this horrendous organization.
President Obama's wife, Michelle, showed support for the kidnapped girls on social media. She left a message and picture of herself on both Facebook and Twitter. The message said, "Her thoughts and prayers were with the girls and their families. In her words, it's time to bring back our girls." The United States is sending military experts, criminal investigators, and hostage negotiators to help find the girls. A Defense Department official told reporters on Wednesday that a handful of military advisors, less than 10, were going to the Nigerian capital, Abuja. Colonel Steve Warren also said there are no plans for a U.S. military operation.
Their mission there is to simply assess and advise. These personnel will be experts in areas to include communications, logistics, intelligence, all of the functionalities that we believe will be helpful.
Other countries also have offered to help Nigeria. Britain has promised to provide satellite imagery. China says it will train military officials and help improve Nigeria's ability to gather intelligence. Boko Haram has been blamed for thousands of deaths since the group launched operations against the Nigerian government in 2009. The campaign is aimed at establishing Islamic rule. In English, the name of the group means "Western education is sinful." The militants have been most active in northeast Nigeria. The government declared emergency rule in three northeastern states a year ago. But efforts by the military to crush or contain the rebellion have been unsuccessful. At least 125 people were killed on Monday when gunmen attacked a market in a town near the border with Cameroon. A day later, eight other girls reportedly were seized in a village near where the schoolgirls were kidnapped. Villagers accused Boko Haram of carrying out the attack. Nigerian police have offered a $300,000 reward for information leading to the location and the rescue of the kidnapped victims. And that's In the News from VOA Learning English. I'm Steve Ember.
Now, the VOA Special English Program, American Stories. Our story today is called The Last Leaf. It was written by O. Henry. Here is Barbara Klein with the story.
Many artists lived in the Greenwich Village area of New York. Two young women named Sue and Johnsy shared a studio apartment at the top of a three-story building. Johnsy's real name was Joanna. In November, a cold, unseen stranger came to visit the city. This disease, pneumonia, killed many people. Johnsy lay on her bed, hardly moving. She looked through the small window. She could see the side of the brick house next to her building. One morning, a doctor examined Johnsy and took her temperature. Then he spoke with Sue in another room.
"She has one chance in, let us say, 10, he said. "And that chance is for her to want to live. Your friend has made up her mind that she is not going to get well. Has she anything on her mind?"
She wanted to paint the Bay of Naples in Italy some day, said Sue.
"Paint?" said the doctor. "Bosh! Has she anything on her mind worth thinking twice? A man, for example?"
"A man," said Sue, "is a man worth... But no, doctor, there is nothing of the kind."
"I will do all that science can do," said the doctor. "But whenever my patient begins to count the carriages at her funeral, I take away 50% from the curative power of medicines."
After the doctor had gone, Sue went into the workroom and cried. Then she went to Johnsy's room with her drawing board, whistling ragtime. Johnsy lay with her face toward the window. Sue stopped whistling, thinking she was asleep. She began making a pen and ink drawing for a story in a magazine. Young artists must work their way to art by making pictures for magazine stories. Sue heard a low sound, several times repeated. She went quickly to the bedside. Johnsy's eyes were open wide. She was looking out the window and counting backward. 12, she said, and a little later, 11, and then 10, and 9, and then 8, and 7, almost together. Sue looked out the window. What was there to count? There was only an empty yard and the blank side of the house 7 meters away. An old ivy vine, going bad at the roots, climbed halfway up the wall. The cold breath of autumn had stricken leaves from the plant until its branches, almost bare, hung on the bricks.
"What is it, dear?" asked Sue.
6, said Johnsy quietly. "They're falling faster now. 3 days ago there were almost 100. It made my head hurt to count them. But now it's easy. There goes another one. There are only 5 left now."
5 what, dear?" asked Sue.
"Leaves on the plant. When the last one falls, I must go too. I've known that for 3 days. Didn't the doctor tell you?"
Oh, I never heard of such a thing, said Sue. What have old ivy leaves to do with your getting well? And you used to love that vine. Don't be silly. Why, the doctor told me this morning that your chances for getting well real soon were, let's see exactly what he said. He said the chances were 10 to 1. Try to eat some soup now, and let me go back to my drawing so I can sell it to the magazine and buy food and wine for us. You needn't get any more wine, said Jauncey, keeping her eyes fixed out the window. There goes another one. No, I don't want any soup. That leaves just 4. I want to see the last one fall before it gets dark. Then I'll go, too. Jauncey, dear, said Sue, will you promise me to keep your eyes closed and not look out the window until I'm done working? I must hand those drawings in by tomorrow. Tell me as soon as you have finished, said Jauncey, closing her eyes and lying white and still as a fallen statue. I want to see the last one fall. I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired of thinking. I want to turn loose my hold on everything and go sailing down, down, just like one of those poor, tired leaves. Try to sleep, said Sue. I must call Mr. Behrman up to be my model for my drawing of an old miner. Don't try to move until I come back. Old Behrman was a painter who lived on the ground floor of the apartment building. Behrman was a failure in art. For years, he had always been planning to paint a work of art, but had never yet begun it. He earned a little money by serving as a model to artists who could not pay for a professional model. He was a fierce little old man who protected the 2 young women in the studio apartment above him. Sue found Behrman in his room. In one area was a black canvas that had been waiting 25 years for the first line of paint. Sue told him about Jauncey and how she feared that her friend would float away like a leaf. Old Behrman was angered at such an idea.
Are there people in the world with the foolishness to die because leaves drop off a vine? Why do you let that silly business come in her brain?
She is very sick and weak, said Sue, and the disease has left her mind full of strange ideas.
This is not any place in which one so good as Miss Jauncey shall lie sick, yelled Behrman. Some day I will paint a masterpiece, and we shall all go away.
Jauncey was sleeping when they went upstairs. Sue pulled the shade down to cover the window. She and Behrman went into the other room. They looked out a window fearfully at the ivy vine. Then they looked at each other without speaking. A cold rain was falling, mixed with snow. Behrman sat and posed as the miner. The next morning, Sue awoke after an hour's sleep. She found Jauncey with wide-open eyes staring at the covered window.
"Pull up the shade. I want to see," she ordered quietly.
Sue obeyed. After the beating rain and fierce wind that blew through the night, there yet stood against the wall 1 ivy leaf. It was the last one on the vine.
It was still dark green at the center, but its edges were colored with the yellow. It hung bravely from the branch about 7 meters above the ground.
"It is the last one," said Jauncey. "I thought it would surely fall during the night. I heard the wind. It will fall today, and I shall die at the same time."
"Dear, dear," said Sue, leaning her worn face toward the bed. "Think of me, if you won't think of yourself. What would I do?" But Jauncey did not answer.
The next morning, when it was light, Jauncey demanded that the window shade be raised. The ivy leaf was still there. Jauncey lay for a long time looking at it. And then she called to Sue, who was preparing chicken soup.
"I've been a bad girl," said Jauncey. "Something has made that last leaf stay there to show me how bad I was. It is wrong to want to die. You may bring me a little soup now."
An hour later, she said,
"Someday I hope to paint the Bay of Naples."
Later in the day, the doctor came, and Sue talked to him in the hallway.
"Even chances," said the doctor. "With good care, you'll win. And now I must see another case I have in your building. Behrman, his name is. Some kind of an artist, I believe. Pneumonia, too. He is an old, weak man, and his case is severe. There's no hope for him, but he goes to the hospital today to ease his pain."
The next day, the doctor said to Sue, "She's out of danger. You won. Nutrition and care now. That's all." Later that day, Sue came to the bed where Jauncey lay and put one arm around her.
"I have something to tell you, White Mouse," she said. "Mr. Behrman died of pneumonia today in the hospital. He was sick only 2 days. They found him the morning of the first day in his room downstairs, helpless with pain. His shoes and clothing were completely wet and icy cold. They could not imagine where he had been on such a terrible night. And then they found a lantern, still lighted, and they found a ladder that had been moved from its place, and art supplies and a painting board with green and yellow colors mixed on it. And look out the window, dear, at the last ivy leaf on the wall. Didn't you wonder why it never moved when the wind blew? Oh, darling, it is Behrman's masterpiece. He painted it there the night that the last leaf fell."
You have heard the story, The Last Leaf, by O. Henry. Your storyteller was Barbara Klein. This story was adapted by Shelley Gullist and produced by Lawan Davis. I'm Faith Lapidus.